Thank you. Thanks be to God for the powerful, beautiful music that ushers us into worship on this Palm Sunday, this very holy day in the life of our church. It is my joy to welcome you into worship on this Palm Sunday, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary, whether this is your very first time or your 500th time to worship among us. I'm glad to be with you today. And I invite you to take a few moments to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser that will take you to the registration spot. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again, there's also a QR code in the bulletin you can scan. You can register your attendance, share prayer concerns, make an offering for the day, and participate in the service in a lot of different ways through that QR code. If you are a college student in one of our local colleges here in Nashville, I invite you to join me for lunch today. I'm going to be your host today, and we will gather in the narthex, the back of the sanctuary, right after the service, and I'll take you to lunch, my treat, somewhere close by. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. If you are a teenager from 7th grade through 12th grade, you're invited to come and help serve at Trinity Commons tonight as part of our youth ministry. They will be meeting here at the church at 4:45 and riding over there together. And if you have any questions, you can talk with Emily Robbins. She'll be sitting in that chair in just a few minutes as worship begins. This is the holiest week of the year, and we journey together toward the cross as a congregation. A few opportunities to gather this week that I wanted to share with you. First of all, we are well aware that Wednesday is the anniversary of the tragic shooting at Covenant School here in our own community. And so there are lots of ways we can remember and be in prayer around that event. Our sister congregation at Calvary United Methodist Church is hosting a worship service at 6:30 p.m. That was one of the reunification sites for the families on that day. And so we wanted to join them and support them in that effort. Prior to that, at 5 o'clock on that day in the afternoon, there will be a linking of arms from Vanderbilt Children's Hospital all the way to Legislative Plaza as a sign of our hope for change. And there's details for you to look at on how to participate in that. And I know now you're paying attention to these cherubic faces, but I do have a couple more announcements. Maundy Thursday service of worship is 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary and online. And then we'll worship on Good Friday at noon here in the sanctuary and online. And then at 6 p.m. on Friday evening, there is a service of worship with several congregations gathering together. And each of us preachers will take one of the last sayings of Jesus from the cross and do a brief meditation on that. We begin today this journey to Jerusalem, this journey to the cross. So let us open our hearts and minds to accompany Jesus on this journey.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Give thanks to God who visits and saves all creation. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be weighed down by the sins and worries of this life, but watch and pray for the grace of God who will save you in your time of trial. With the assurance of God's mercy that delivers us to live a better way, let us confess our sin. Gracious God, your meekness exposes our prideful conceit and our fear of embracing the lowly way of love. Forgive us for the ways our passionate praises become determined denials when your Son, Jesus Christ, follows us to follow him to the cross. By the power of your Holy Spirit, liberate us from a fickle love of you and of our neighbors, so that we might discover the greatness of true humility and the joy of solidarity with the suffering as together we walk with Christ in the way that leads to eternal life. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence." Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are
forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us this morning exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might humbly walk toward the new world of mercy and justice you're creating in our midst. Amen. The Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt who has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who were followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God.
seated. And any children who want to come up front and join me for a few minutes, come on up. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a minute. Look at all these choir robes. Oh my goodness. Grace, you guys did a wonderful job singing and leading us in worship. It's pretty. Yeah, very pretty. Hey, Wesley. Good to see everybody. One of the things I love to look for in the Bible are animals. There are lots of places in the Bible where there are animals and where animals do some really important things. You may remember how on Christmas Eve we read the story of Jesus born in a manger, and we think about sheep and cows and donkeys and other animals that might have been in the manger with Jesus. And this morning on Palm Sunday, there's a really important animal that's part of the story. Did you hear it? Yes, it's a donkey. It's actually the colt of a donkey, so it's like a baby donkey. It's especially cute. I don't know if you've ever seen a donkey before, but they're not very impressive looking. And I think there are horses, you know, and horses are muscular and they're fast and they're shiny and sleek. And donkeys are sort of short and kind of dumpy. They have little squat legs. They're really cute, but they're not as impressive as horses are. But you know, that's one reason I think Jesus chose a donkey, and especially a small one. Jesus was always choosing the small, the lowly, the people that nobody else would choose or that nobody else liked to show God's love to the world and to give them something special to do. And it reminds me that you're never too small or too big, too low or too high, but Jesus can't use you and work through you. And that's one of the wonderful things about following Jesus. You know, after the service at 8:45, a church member came and showed me a picture of a donkey's back. And most donkeys are gray, and they have a cross of dark black fur on their backs. And the story is that was their reward for being so faithful to Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the creatures of the earth, the animals that you created, that are part of your story, that remind us that you love everybody and you choose the lowest and the smallest and the least impressive most of all. We thank you for that little colt of a donkey who was so faithful to carry you into Jerusalem. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. And if you are three... You are three today. It's her birthday, and she's so excited to go to Children's Church for the first time. And if you're three, four, or five, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Emily, and we'll see you soon. It's also Pastor Will's birthday, so be sure and wish him a happy birthday. Since his Tar Heels won yesterday, that's a good birthday present. Oh, I said it at, somebody left a colorful caterpillar, but we'll get it later. I said it at 8:45, and I am feeling it again in this service. What a beautiful, powerful experience of worship we've had so far together this morning. With the palm branches waving and the glory and power of the hymn and the choir, and as we came in and I could see the choir waving your palms and singing, and once we got up here to see all of you adults and children alike waving your palm branches, and as the sopranos went up on the last verse of the hymn, it was just so uplifting and majestic. And that's part of what Palm Sunday is about. We're remembering that moment when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time, when many in the crowd recognized him as their leader, perhaps even their Messiah. As we read the story and we see what Mark is doing in his retelling of the story, pointing to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. It is a moment of celebration, and I don't know about you, but I look forward to Palm Sunday every year. It feels like a party, at least at first. But even as we wave our palms, there are undertones of death. There is a cloud that hangs over us, even as we shout Hosanna, because we know what's coming. We know that this is Jesus' last week, and that he is heading into conflict and controversy, suffering and death. His disciples knew it. At least they should have. In Mark's gospel, Jesus has told them already 3 times what will happen when they get to Jerusalem. He said, "The Son of Man will be handed over. He will be betrayed into the hands of sinners, and he will be tortured and flogged and crucified. And on the 3rd day, he will rise again." So I think they knew it too. And we know that Jesus knew it. One of the most breathtaking things about this story is how silent Jesus is. The way that Mark tells the story, Jesus says one thing. He instructs 2 of his disciples to go and untie a colt, the colt of a donkey, and bring it to him. And then after that, he is silent. And we can only imagine what is going on in his heart, in his soul, in his mind. I imagine him not with a smile on his face, even as the crowds are shouting Hosanna and waving their palm branches. There's another place in the story, in another gospel, where it talks about his face is set like flint, because he knows what lies ahead. And so this morning, as we gather around this text, we have an opportunity to look at it through the lens of the prophet Micah. If you haven't been worshiping with us through the season of Lent, if this is your first Sunday during this season, we've allowed the words of the prophet Micah to guide us through the 6 weeks of Lent. The prophet said, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God?" And so for the first 2 weeks of Lent, we looked at justice and how we're called to live into God's justice in our world, in our city, in our families, in our lives. And then we spent weeks 3 and 4 diving into mercy and being people of mercy. How do we feed the hungry and visit the sick and live out God's kindness and compassion for the hurting and the least and the lost? And then last week we shifted to walking humbly with God. And I can't think of a more vivid picture of walking humbly with God than Jesus riding on the colt of a donkey into Jerusalem, where he will humbly walk all the way to the cross. So without words in this text, Jesus shows us what it looks like to walk humbly with God. So let's look at some of the choices he makes and what they might teach us about how we can walk humbly with God. Of course, above all is his choice of a donkey, this underwhelming animal that perhaps would be the only kind of animal a poor family could afford. He chooses to ride into Jerusalem on the eastern gate on the back of a donkey, surrounded by a ragtag group of Galileans making their way into Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, it's easy for us in our day to think that this was a huge moment, that everybody in Jerusalem was watching as this was happening, but the fact is that it could have gone pretty much unnoticed by a lot of people. There were hundreds of thousands of people who would make their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. The historian Josephus even says there were millions of people. Now, he may have been exaggerating, but it was a packed place, and there were people coming from all directions through every gate. So most people might not have even noticed what was going on at this eastern gate. But the disciples noticed. And Mark wants us to notice some of the signals that Jesus is giving us in his choices to enter Jerusalem. If you're paying attention, you might hear the echoes of the prophet Zechariah, who said that the Messiah, the son of David, would enter Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. Perhaps Jesus is sending that subtle signal. But he's also setting himself up in a contrast to what might have been happening on the other side of the city. Christian tradition has passed down this story that at the same time Jesus was entering the eastern gate, Pontius Pilate was entering the western gate. Pilate would have made his way to Jerusalem for the Passover to keep order. There was a history of the Jews getting a little rebellious at the Passover and some of these other festivals, and Rome wanted to make sure that they behaved, that they knew who was in charge, that they knew what the consequences would be if they got up to any funny business. And so Pilate would have entered the western gate of Jerusalem with a display of worldly power, on a horse, a stallion, if not in a golden chariot, surrounded by soldiers with their sabers and their shields and their swords. I heard someone say, imagine Pilate entering the gate on a tank and Jesus coming in the other side on a tricycle. It is a show of power, worldly power and domination and control to inspire fear and obedience on Pilate's side. It is a display of the power of vulnerable love and humility and a God who is made known in lowliness as Jesus enters on the other side. So it's just another reminder from the life of Jesus of the kind of God he reveals to us. Jesus also makes the choice to enter into Jerusalem for the last time during the Passover in a band of other pilgrims. He comes in alongside other pilgrims. Mark tells us they are in front of him and behind him, and together they are singing Psalm 118, Hosanna, Hosanna. That's a psalm that all Jews would have been singing as they entered Jerusalem for the Passover. Just another reminder that Jesus is with us, is one of us. He came to walk alongside us. The humility of God revealed in this moment of entry. But I wonder, what about when we turn the page? We turn the page on this story, is Jesus still teaching us about humility? Because you know what happens next. The next morning, Jesus goes straight into the temple and turns over the tables and begins crying out against the hypocrisy and the corruption and the exploitation of the poor on the chief priests and the leaders of the people. He holds them to account. He speaks truth to power. Is that still humility? Or is Jesus teaching us something else? Well, I'd like to suggest that Jesus is still teaching us about the power of humble love, even as he stands in the temple and cries out for God's justice and righteousness. Some of it depends on how you understand the word humble. The word in English comes from the Latin word humus, which literally means the ground, or I like to think of it as the dirt. And if you think about it, the season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday with dirt being smudged on our foreheads in the shape of a cross, and we hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Ash Wednesday calls us to humility, but reminds us that we are all created from the dust of the earth by a loving God. It is God who creates us. It is God who claims us and names us and tells us who we are. That we are all created from the dust of the earth. Not one of us is worth any more or any less than anyone else. To me, being humble means being right-sized in our understanding of who we are. We are who we are because God tells us who we are. And we're no better or no worse than any other human being, for we are all created in the image of God. And so when Jesus stands up in the temple and cries out against the corruption of the leaders, it is because he knows who he is. He is the Son of God, and he can speak with authority on behalf of God in the temple because the leaders have stopped doing that long ago. And he can continue to engage in controversy and teaching and holding up what is righteous and just without fear, because he knows who he is, and he knows what his purpose is, and he never wavers from the path of humble love, even as it takes him to the cross. And so as we pull together all that we've looked at and talked about in this season of Lent, this call upon our lives as disciples of Jesus to be people who do justice and who love mercy and who walk humbly, we have Jesus as our vivid example on this Palm Sunday and during this Holy Week of how we too can live into God's justice and mercy with humility and companionship with God. I tried to think of examples of other ways and other people who have showed us what this looks like. I think about St. Francis of Assisi, one of my favorite saints of all the church. He was born into wealth, and he renounced all of it, had a conversion experience when he encountered a leper on the street, and he felt compelled to kiss him, and after that he just gave it all away and entered into a life of poverty and following Jesus. And there was one time when he was invited to join some other religious leaders at the table for a meal. He was late getting there, so they went ahead and started without him, and they'd set a white tablecloth and gold and crystal and platters overflowing with abundant food. And St. Francis showed up dressed as a poor man, and he just put on his plate a little piece of bread and just drank a little bit of water. It was a show of humility, but it was holding up a mirror to their hypocrisy and their greed and extravagance. He was standing up for what was right and for what was just and giving voice to the poor without saying a mumbling word, just living out his humility. Or I think about Rosa Parks keeping her seat on that bus in Alabama because she knew who she was. She knew that she was a child of God, just as worthy as anyone else to sit in the seat in the bus, and that it was the laws of Alabama that were unjust and wrong. And so she stayed in that seat and continued to fight for civil rights without fear, because she was grounded in the righteousness and justice of God and allowed God to tell her who she was and not the laws of Alabama. And so I wonder what work we are called to continue doing in our world, grounded in the love and humility of a God who walks humbly with us. This is the beginning of the week. Jesus' journey day by day this week will get harder and harder. The voices of opposition will get louder and louder. The powers that be will plot against him, until ultimately on Friday, he hangs on a cross. And our invitation is to stay close, to keep walking with him, and not to be afraid. Amen.
Of the gospel, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and to join me in the affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to take your seats. As we transition to this time of prayer, to remind us that as a communion, we hold one another in both joy and solidarity and suffering. And that if you would like for us to be praying with you as a pastoral team or to share your general prayer concerns with the larger church, you can do so by filling out the gray card that is in the pew in front of you and dropping it in the offering basket here in a few moments. If you're worshiping with us online, you can follow the Contact Us form on our website and share your prayer concern in that way. Also invite you to go to the portion of your bulletin that does share our communal prayer concerns. And maybe this week, going beyond just praying for someone and actually reaching out to them and letting them know that you are a steadfast presence of God's light and love in their life in a very tangible way. In particular, today I want to lift up to our both joy and concern a number of developments in the life of our congregation and the members of our congregation. First, I want to celebrate that the rose that is on the communion table is celebrating the birth of Patrick Nathaniel Griffin. Patrick's parents, Chris and Natalie Griffin, will be joining the church today, and we celebrate that Patrick was born on March 1st. So we celebrate his birth, and we're so, so grateful that Chris and Natalie will be joining us today. We also remember and mourn with those members of our beloved church family who are grieving today. In particular, we lift up Andrew Callis and his family as they are mourning the death of his grandfather, Harold Mann Jr., who passed away on March 18th. Rachel Jones, who joined in our earlier service, we remember her and her family as they are mourning the death of her grandmother, Margaret Ann Jones, who passed away on March 20th. We journey with Kevin Walco and his family as they mourn the death of his brother, Gregory Walco, who passed away on Thursday, March 21st. And we journey alongside Evelyn and Gabe, Lewis and Martha Galletti, as they mourn the death of Evelyn's mother, Ruth Kate, who passed away on Friday morning, March 22nd. Services for Ruth Kate will be held on May 4th at 6:30 at the Parthenon. As we prepare to practice prayer with one another, with the prayers of the people, I'm going to invite you into a petition and a response. So when I say the Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to respond, hear our prayer. So let us practice. Lord, in your mercy. Great. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, your Son Jesus emptied himself and took the form of a servant, so that all of creation might be saved through his passion and his glorious resurrection. Amidst all that we are called and rightfully obligated to do in our families, in our work, and in our pursuit of the common good, might we not miss the moments of these holy days. May each hour of this week lead us to receive your love with grateful thanksgiving. Keep us awake with Jesus as he journeys to the cross. Lead us to stillness and rest as we wait on Saturday. Surprise us with hope on the third day. Lord, in your mercy. In our journeying with Christ through his passion, join us in solidarity with those who suffer, and in particular, those who suffer as a consequence of economic injustice, political collusion, and violent delusions. Especially help us to remember, both with our steadfast presence and our commitment to true peace, the lives and the families of the victims of the Covenant School shooting. Evelyn, Hallie, William, Cynthia, Catherine, and Mike. Lord, in your mercy. As we sit in Saturday's stillness, form us to become a people of profound patience in a harried and hurried world, Assure us of your presence as we prepare to receive a call, a decision, a diagnosis, or an embrace that could dramatically transform our lives. Give us wholehearted courage to commit to the work of mercy and justice that just never seems to end. Help us to name the loneliness that waiting so often stirs up. And in that naming, lead us to discover fellow sojourners in the silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In your resurrecting grace, form our minds and our collective imagination the mind of Jesus. Reconstruct our vision of power, that it be grounded in true meekness and humility. Revive our vision of a shalom that knows no bounds or borders. Redeem our failed attempts to be your friends, your church, your body of unconditional love in the world. Lord, in your mercy. And now, by the power of your Spirit, bind us together in love as we pray as Jesus is teaching us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts and offer them up to God with gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining online are invited to give via the options which are listed on the screen, while those of us who are here in the sanctuary can place our offering in the plates as they are passed here in a moment. If you're here in the sanctuary with us too, I invite you to go to the QR code that is printed in your bulletin if you wish to give online in that way. Might we give with great joy to the God who is always providing far more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine. may be seated. And at this point, I'm going to invite those who will be joining the church to come forward. We are grateful that this morning in our early service, we had two persons join our church, Rachel and Mary. And we're overjoyed that here today in our 11 o'clock service, we have six persons who are joining our church. You can't get much better than Palm Sunday, y'all. So good job. I'm going to invite you to actually stand between Pastor Carol and I. And yeah, that's great. Just want to share with you a little bit about our new members. So we celebrate that Sybil and Colby Reagan, y'all are coming to us from Hendersonville First UMC, and that y'all have been married for 24 years and have three children. Wow. Sybil is a retired political consultant who is very interested in justice ministries. So I'm sure this sermon series has been a good one for you. Colby is an attorney who really enjoys exploring medieval churches. Fascinating. We are also celebrating Chris Bimanista and Jason Hill, who are joining us from another local congregation. Chris is a personal trainer, and he shared with us that he is coming back to his faith, and he's so grateful to be doing so here within the life and communion of West End. Jason enjoys cooking, gardening, travel, and volunteering. We celebrate that Chris and Natalie Griffin come to us from a church in Brentwood. Chris is employed at Vanderbilt University, and Natalie is a professor at MTSU. As you heard earlier, they just welcomed their son Patrick into the world on March 1st. And they're also good friends with our very own Sharon Shields. We are thankful that you all made this community your home, and we really look forward to how God will continue to draw us closer together with Christ and his mission in the world. And so as we do so, I ask first a question of you, Chris, Jason, Chris, and Natalie. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. This next question is for all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. I'm going to invite the congregation to stand in body or in spirit. Family of God, Chris, Jason, Chris, Natalie, Sybil, and Colby are now entrusted to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and to perfect them in Christian love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We invite you after worship to meet the newest members of our church family here in Reed Hall. If you are new to our communion, Reed Hall is just to my left, and so you can walk out these doors and meet your newest church family members. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of God, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we may be the living light of Jesus Christ to the world. Amen. I invite you.
As this time of worship comes to a close, we invite you to remain standing as the choir sings their choral benediction, and then as I read a text that will usher us in to the darkness of this week. Hear now this blessing from our worship together. May we know and follow a God who is revealed to us in the power of humble love. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining close to his heart. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you're going to do." So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night.